Wait, Rex or Rob?
Rob. With the long hair and
yeah, he just looks like
hair.
Kind of like a swashbuckler.
Yes.
For sure.
You think he's pillaging?
Oh, he's pillaging.
So that was Pomp and Omar Khan on Najee Harris. 2 days away from the deadline on the fifth year option. The Steelers might just be dragging their feet on it. I do think it's interesting that Owe, the Penn State product, who has been decent, not great for Baltimore, in the last hour has had his fifth-year option picked up.
Mm-hmm.
And you could hear a little bit of a frazzled Pomp last night when this topic came up, because Bob was of the opinion that this was fait accompli, and the longer this plays out, the more you wonder if it really is a done deal, if it really is obvious. So I did a little bit of digging on this one. I thought this was possibly informative. Maybe it's something, it could end up being nothing, but just hear me out for a second. Of the 9 running backs that have been picked in the first round going back to 2014, 5 of them have had their option picked up. Actually, check that. 4 of them have had their option picked up among the 9. Gurley, Gordon, Christian McCaffrey, Saquon Barkley. Those are the 4. Gurley, McCaffrey, and Barkley are great players and were picked in the top, 10?
Yeah, Gurley cut short, but yes, a great talent.
And he led the league in rushing at least once. And Gordon was just he's probably the most similar, definitely the most similar from that group to Najee. The guy that didn't have his fifth-year option picked up was Fournette,
who turned into sort of a running back for hire mercenary most years.
Yes, playoff Lenny. Listen to Fournette's numbers his last year in Jacksonville when they didn't pick up his fifth-year option. 1,152 yards and 3 touchdowns. Top 5 pick, had 1,100 yards, 3 touchdowns. They said, no, we're good.
There is one key, I don't want to say key difference, but notable difference between he and Harris.
He had an injury in there.
Well, he didn't. Not only that, the first season he only played 13 games, which is still missing, you know what, almost 20% of the year.
Man, but he was a stud that year. The Steelers saw him twice. I'm aware. Beat him up both times.
He dump trucked Mike Mitchell in spectacular fashion. But Harris has been nothing if not durable for the Steelers. We had a guy who called in, I think, who said Harris is always getting hurt, and we were scratching our heads.
Oh, Donnie just updated one thing.
51.
ETN. That's in this, yes.
He's,
I didn't
he's
know
up
from
for
this
the same
draft.
Year. He's
so
up for at the
so
same
ETN
time.
So ETN now becomes the fifth guy. So ETN
oh, they did
got
pick
his
up already?
Up. Yes.
I
had not seen that. Thank you, Donnie, for getting in my ear on it.
ETN, to me, is a...
He's more of a modern running back because he catches the ball. He's got a little bit of Le'Veon Bell in him in that way. Not as productive, not as prolific, but he's a bigger threat in the passing game. Najee
a little less
was,
tread on his tires, too, because of...
The injury.
Missing a whole season.
Najee was only a threat in the passing game his rookie year because Ben wanted to dump the ball off like crazy
it
was hot potato.
We saw very clearly who the more dynamic running back was catching passes last year out of the backfield.
So here's the reason why I think this might be a little bit of a conundrum. If I told you that they were going to pay Najee Harris almost $7 million for this year, for this upcoming season, for the season that starts in a few months, I would be okay with that. He's not my cup of tea. I don't think you should invest in running backs. I thought the idea to draft him in the first round was stupid. Okay, but he's had 1,000 yards every year. He's been at least durable, available, and somewhat productive. Okay?
Probably coming off his best stretch of games to close last year.
But you've got to guarantee this money to him
now,
a year and a half from now. And if we've learned anything about the running back position in all our years watching football, you can fall off the Grand Canyon like that, man. You can burn out. You can be a Hall of Famer and by 27 years old be shot. I mean, that's not out of the question. And we know that there's a whole new way of doing business with this Omar Khan-led group. Mm. Omar did not draft Najee. That was Colbert and Tomlin.
Omar, I feel confident saying this. Omar wouldn't have drafted him.
I'll give you, maybe this is a rhetorical question. Why would you feel confident in Omar absolutely picking up the fifth-year option
I'm not. I don't think that that's fait accompli here.
To be honest with you, and you guys can tell me what you think. My opinion is, in addition to being a pretty, you know, good player, the other reason why I think they end up picking it up is because they don't want to deal with the BS of not picking it up. If they don't pick it up, I think Najee's a problem.
Despite all the things we hear about what a good guy he is, as like a team leader, and the fact that Tomlin has touted him many times as such.
They took the captain's badge off him, and I think things last year that make us dubious about that qualification,
Pony,
right?
I mean, I was being semi-rhetorical and semi-facetious. I thought that one of the things they said about him numerous times that never really held water to me was this idea that he was this phenomenal leader in the locker room. I think guys could respect him as a teammate because he takes a physical pounding to try to do his job and does it better than most guys in the league, but that doesn't make him like this spectacular teammate. You know what? They've tried, I think, the last 2 years to lighten the load. He got 381 touches as a rookie. They just took the most out of him that they could. Down to 313 2 years ago, down to 284 last year. They have seemingly tried to trend his touches in the correct direction, Pony. You know what they haven't gotten out of that, though? Better production as a result. Yards per touch, nice metric no one ever comes up with. Lower last year than it was his rookie year when he was getting the ball constantly.
Well, he was finally over 4 yards a carry as a running back last
year. I know,
year.
But he was a better receiver his rookie year.
Yep.
4.2 yards per touch, man. I know that he had his best year as a ball carrier, but it still wasn't exactly like setting the world on fire. I would not pick it up. Now,
That feeds into the notion that we have among people that we've always been the most negative Najee Harris show.
No, it's just it's a fact to me of the NFL that you don't have to pay running backs big money. And I understand. Here's the thing. You pay him the $6.8 million, which is essentially what the fifth-year option is. That only counts 2.48% of the cap that year. That's what it's going to be. SpotTrack has this out there already. Yep. That's not a lot. He counts 1.6% against the cap this year. My point is, just go look at last year's list of NFL leading rushers. Now, McCaffrey's the outlier. He also plays in the best system 40 at almost 1,500 yards, Pony.
Yep.
The rest of them aren't first-round picks.
Well, that's what I was about to say. Among the
Tyron Williams, what round was he picked in, Donnie? He was the third leading rusher in the league. I'll put you on the spot. Kyron Williams.
Notre Dame.
Like fifth?
Fifth round. They had a different guy that they had picked higher, Cam Akers, who was supposed to be the man there, and then they just said, McVay, to his credit, said, well, this was a mistake.
There were 12 1,000-yard rushers in the NFL last year, and only two of them had 1,000 yards for the team that drafted them in the first round, and that's Najee and Etienne.
And Etienne barely got there. Like, Tony Pollard's the other 1,000. Okay.
He wasn't a first-round
pick by
Dallas.
No, but I'm saying, like, that's the last guy on the list, and I'm just I was going to say Zeke was the guy that was supposed to be the man there, and look where his career's at. I wouldn't do it because even at that minimal of a cap percentage, and even at that modest of a number, what's to say there isn't going to be another guy in next year's draft?
$6.8 million is not modest NFL running back money. It would pay
him. No, I'm talking about specifically as it pertains to the cap. I hear $6 million, and I know it's not even 3% of the cap, and that's not a big expenditure to me, but it's still not worth it. Is it worth it to you?
No, I wouldn't do it because it's not for 2024. It's for 2025. And if he has a good year and you still think he's healthy – and you don't see any sign of him breaking down or deteriorating, well, then sign him to an extension next offseason. I don't honestly think you're going to be competing with and having to outbid tons of teams trying to sign Najee Harris. And guess what? If he leaves,
then you draft
one in the third or fourth round who's probably good enough to be your starting running back day one. If you've got here's the thing. If we really believe that the Steelers' offensive line is on the precipice and on the verge of becoming the strength of the team,
don't need a running.
Why
back
do you need
pedigree?
To pay a running back $7 million? Thank you, thank you.
I mean, there's a guy this year. If they didn't have Najee Harris or Najee Harris was walking, I would have picked Braylon Allen, the big dump truck kid from Wisconsin, just a monster physically. Because those guys, listen, man. Other than McCaffrey at this point, and Derrick Henry, who did it a different way and is very unique physically as far as holding up. The position just is not what it was.
Fan Hotline is presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Well, this is old hat for us. This is like getting back on the bike or strapping the skates back on after years of not doing it. Najee Harris comes up. we say something critical about him or about the decision to draft him or about how the Steelers should handle his contract, and it's catnip for people. Because there's still, I think, there's still a portion of Steelers fans who want to justify it and stick up for that pick. And I just don't get it.
I think I got yelled at by some Steelers media back when they drafted him. I think Dale Lally blocked me because of all this. I think that
wasn't that when the do your arms hurt from carrying so much water thing that happened?
I think I literally said something like, I'll tell you what, I'll keep analyzing the team honestly and you can keep carrying water for them. And that, you know what, that earned a block. That was a very well-earned block.
I get along fine with Lally. He is a Washington County icon. He puts together the Washington Pony League team every year. He's the GM of that squadron.
They have a GM?
Yeah. He picks the team from what I understand.
Okay.
So I respect him. They almost beat, I think it was Chinese Taipei. Donnie is just an absolute unit.
They're a wagon.
You don't want to mess with Taipei. And so they lost to Taipei in the championship. That was, to me, a moral victory. But someone sent me a message that Lally seemed to be taking a shot or two at BMAC yesterday.
I wouldn't
over
know,
this significant playmaker tweet.
Okay, what did he do? What did he say?
Something about how, like, man, people's sources are really running rampant here, or something like that.
Yeah, but that frustrates me because he gets mad when people criticize him, but then wants to fire off from the hip at people like BMAC. If you're going to send the fire, be willing to take the return fire from people like me.
You know what? That's my ethos on life. I dish a lot of it out. If I can't take it, then I'm the worst. So I take it, I see it, I eat it, I
deal
with it.
One bite at a time like an elephant?
Yep.
Like St. Francis of Assisi told you to?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, you do. By the way, Albert Breer, this is weird just because we're talking about this. Fifth-year options filed today. Browns corner, Greg Newsome, Ravens OA, Vera Tucker from the Jets. Teams have till Thursday at 4. Very few, and then he writes in parentheses, if any, unresolved at this point.
Yeah, one of them is Najee.
One of them would be Najee,
pretty
Albert.
Pretty big one. Here is Joe in Mount Lebanon on this topic. Hello, Joe.
Hey, how are you doing?
We're good.
A couple things, if I may, real quickly. On Najee, both of you, and you would know this, that you're missing a little bit. The guy never fumbles. Never. Okay? I mean, I fumbles once in a while. He holds onto a ball like a vice. The fellow before from Pitt, how many games did he lose at the end of the season?
James was not sure-handed. James was not – that tie in Cleveland in the muck was because of a fumble. Harris didn't fumble a single time his rookie year. He's fumbled five times. He's put the ball on the ground five times in the last 2 years combined.
Still pretty good. And then
so,
the other thing
– so that justifies paying a guy $7 million 2 years from now?
Well, the other thing –
because he doesn't fumble?
He's very good power runner, excellent power runner. His first year, yes, he gained more yards per carry. Who is quarterback?
Hold on a second.
No, he gained fewer yards per carry.
I completely disagree that he's a great power runner. For years, literally 2 years, they were one of the worst teams in the NFL running the ball in short yardage situations. And a lot of times it was because instead of going straight ahead, he wanted to go to the side. Joe?
Of course, for Kenny Pickett, you guys would say the offensive line was terrible. For Najee, it's his fault.
What are you talking? Joe, you're not talking to the Kenny Pickett apologist show. I've ripped the guy up and down his entire tenure here.
Again, Joe, you want to pay a guy $7 million and if the offensive line is supposedly going to be great the next 2 years, why do I have to pay a running back so much money?
Well, who are you going to have instead of him?
I don't know. I mean, they found a guy who was an undrafted free agent who at times last year looked better than he did, Joe.
Agreed. I agree with that. He's good. He turned out good. But I do think that for that type of money, with a team you could potentially have, the center, I heard this morning on your show, the West Virginia coach, I think that guy's going to be a great find.
Right, so I don't think you need to pay a running back $7 million. Thank you.
And I'll go back to your original point here. For people who think he could be really good in this offense, maybe he will be. He ain't Derrick Henry, so if that's what you're expecting, tamp it down. How do you know he's going to be healthy and not fall off a cliff next year if he takes 300 more touches this year. You don't.
He shouldn't take that many. He shouldn't get that many touches, though, because of Jalen Warren.
Well, no, I don't think he will. I don't think he will, though. I mean, like I said, his touches have gone steadily down each year since his rookie year. He went down by basically 100 from last year versus his rookie. 381 down to 284, 285. I don't know, man. Like, I understand. Let me put it this way. I understand with Harris, you watch him those last couple games of the regular season last year when it was generally good vibes all around because they were winning.
Yep.
And because their offense looked competent. And to his credit, he ran like an ass kicker in those games, especially that Seattle game. He was running for tough yardage. But that doesn't mean you just make your decision based on good vibes from the end of the season. This is business oriented. Like, what he just said there about who are you going to find to replace him and then having to acknowledge, oh, wait a minute, the undrafted free agent nobody had ever really heard of did a fine job in relief of him, that should be all the argument you need against picking up this option.
Donnie, do you think it's a slam dunk that they should pick it up? Where do you come down on this one with Najee? You want to guarantee $7 million to him for 2025?
Yeah, see, I wouldn't, because it stretches out not only to this year but to next year. And I mean, like you guys have already laid out, I mean, you can find other players that can fit that mold.
How do you feel about the player overall himself? Just like take Najee in a vacuum, how do you feel about him?
I see him as like a solid player.
Yep, that's exactly what I would say. He's solid.
Like, I don't see, like, he's not a game-changing player. He's a solid player. I mean, he has showed up late in the season when you want him to the last few years, and I think that's due to last year especially, the usage of him throughout the season certainly helped. But I mean, it should show people firsthand, like, they had a guy out there that was a first round pick, they had another guy out there that was undrafted, and there was actual debate over which guy was better.
I think the way when Harris looks good, the way he runs when he's looking good resonates with this fan base. It always has, that style of play.
Yeah, because it's like 8 to 10 yards and he's pounding people when he's not
bowling,
running away.
Yeah, when he's doing the bowling ball routine through defenders, which he did do towards the end of last year.
Yep.
That resonates. That's why people call in emotionally. They're like, I love that. That guy looks like he kicks people's asses, and that's why they want him out there. The fact of the matter is, Jalen Warren did a lot of that too. I can think of more situations last year where Warren, on like a do or die play, extended. They don't win the Browns game because they don't get the Pickens touchdown if Warren on 3rd and 10 on a dump off where he turns to face upfield and there are 3 Browns defenders unblocked coming at him, doesn't manage to get a first down.
Can either one of you guys name more than one Cardinals offensive lineman who isn't Paris Johnson?
I would say 10 years ago, Levi Brown.
Right?
No, I can't.
Like, pretty, would you say?
Very anonymous.
Anonymous offensive line. James Conner behind that line last year, over 1,000 yards and 5 yards per carry.
James Conner had a better year last year.
Third round pick.
But also, like, free agent running back. I've always been a fan of finding guys on the scrap heap and getting them on the cheap and trying to rehabilitate their career, or just quantity. Get me 3 or 4 running backs late in drafts and let them piecemeal the position or ride the hot hand.
I'll just keep
not
pointing
paying
out,
$7 million on a guy because it's a sunk cost. You used a first round pick on him.
I'll just keep pointing out that the majority of the top 10 rushers in the league last year, even the 1,000 yard guys in the league, very few of them were first round picks.
Oh my God. At 3:30. Brought to you by Gina G and Petro of RE/MAX Select Realty. I guess this music means we have a Donnie football mock of the day. The draft ended on Saturday. What are we doing here?
I saw a tweet today that caught my attention. Malzy, I'll read you the tweet.
Let's hear it.
Dane Brugler's 2025 mock draft. This is my worst nightmare. Both Steelers QBs stink this year, and we're reaching to draft one in the first round next year. That tweet.
I think that's my tweet you just read.
Came from our very own Andrew Filippone.
Could almost read as him just trying to tweak his neighbor Texas Keith by saying Quinn Ewers would be a nightmare of a pick.
Quinn Ewers to the Steelers, 14th overall in Brugler's 2025 mock draft.
That would be actually a worst-case scenario. It would mean that Wilson had played poorly, Fields had relieved him, and also played poorly.
But as the great Billy Mays once said, just wait, there's more.
Oh, God.
The 33rd team has put out a mock draft for 2025. They also have the Steelers taking a quarterback, this time 19th overall. Drew Allaire from Penn State.
Oh, you gotta be. I almost swore. I almost swore.
Quinn Ewers, at least
very,
you can say about...
Very close.
At least you can say about Quinn Ewers, he got the ball to those playmakers, and their offense went to Alabama and beat Nick Saban, and then...
Wouldn't he have beaten them twice if he had, didn't he get hurt in the first one where they almost beat him in Austin?
Or yes.
Yeah.
He got hurt, and they would have beaten him that time,
Oh, you're
too.
Talking about the year before.
2 years ago.
Yeah, they right. He almost went 2-0 against them.
Right. Right.
So the guy got Texas. Texas is back, as they like to say.
Oh, yes.
They went to the college football playoff. Drew Allaire, the West Virginia game.
What has he done?
Other than the West Virginia game, which I thought he looked like Trevor Lawrence 2.0. Other than that, and against like the cupcakes on the schedule, I thought he held back Penn State's offense last year.
I think Penn State fans didn't even like him by the end of the year. They were frustrated
with
him.
Oh, he looked like...
I don't think you're getting like the Nittany Lion group, you know, closing ranks around their own. I think people are frustrated with this
guy. He looked worse than deer in headlights against Michigan in that game where Jim Harbaugh had to watch it from like a hotel bar because he was banned by the NCAA.
Didn't he look... I mean, wait a minute. Am I hallucinating? They played Ohio State last year.
They did.
Yeah,
he was hideous in that game. He and McCord had, like, who could be worse?
42% completion percentage.
I think the reason why I thought, like, they didn't play was because I tried to void that game out of my memory. That was one of the worst college football games between good teams I've watched in years.
He had the worst-looking 25-touchdown, 2-interception season I think I've ever seen in my entire life.
If 2 interceptions is all he threw?
Yes.
That... Pony... You could have said, Malzi, if you can guess Drew Allaire's interception total last year within 10, I'll give you $1 million. I might have said 13.
And yep. One of them came in the bowl game against Ole Miss.
Yep, so he threw one in the regular season.
He was awful. I thought you just gave a very good summation of him. Good against teams that he should be good against, and then absolutely nothing when the chips were really on the table.
The game he had against Michigan is just very funny to look at that stat line. And then the following week against Rutgers,
6 of 13
for 79 yards, a 46% completion percentage.
Yep.
I keep up on this, but America's sweetheart, little Joey Smeltzer, does. Is the Penn State contingent, Donnie, have you heard anything? Are they out here saying Franklin has ruined yet another quarterback, or this is Franklin's fault? They can't coach offense there. Like, what's the deal?
I don't know if it's more people on him. I feel like
Donnie's our go-to Penn State guy now.
Because he knows little Joey Smeltzer.
We all know little Joe Smeltzer. He's Penn State beat writer extraordinaire. Also now in Oakland covering the Pirates A-Series and sending out a tweet last night before first pitch that honestly, if the Wild Things had that crowd for a game, and I love Tony and the guys down there, they would be like, this is on Thirsty Thursday. This is all we've got. This is it. What the hell happened to our promotions team? They had more people in the building when Donnie threw out the first pitch for St. Patrick's Day in July than the A's had in that ballpark last night.
It was pretty bad.
They announced 3,000, Chris. 3,000!
Mason Miller,
a major league game!
Mason Miller might throw a pitch harder tonight than the attendance that they get.
He announced three grand for a big league ball game.
If he hits 104, he might exceed the number of customers in the stands.
The only time I remember watching a Pirates game with fewer people was, remember when they had the G20 summit here in 08?
No one could get there.
And people weren't allowed to go to the game. It was an afternoon game because of security reasons. There was like nobody allowed at the ballpark. And I'm excluding all the COVID games, of course. But
it was dead out there in Oakland. I can't get over this Drew Allaire stat line for the year. Five games. He didn't even complete 50% of his passes, boys. This is horrifying. Both of them. Quinn Ewers is horrifying. Drew Allaire, whatever. I don't care.
I got the feeling that Penn State people were disappointed by what they saw in him. I don't know if he was supposed to be James Franklin, but
he was supposed to be like, finally, we've got the difference maker. He's out of central casting to play quarterback and be a stud, and the guy is just...
It's DEFCON 1 if the Steelers are drafting a quarterback.
It really is.
In next year's draft.
It's a horrible class right now on paper. It is considered very bad. Not a good year to
need one. What if his prime son...
You know, people have said he's going to play his way into the first round. I do not. Maybe I'm just an idiot. I don't see it. I don't. I see him maybe being a day two guy.
I think he was the betting favorite on one of the sites to be the first overall.
Yeah, to be
pick.
Number one overall. Let me pull up Brugler here again and see if he's got
a Shedeur Sanders take.
Yes.
Because I guess people would comp him if they were being friendly and saying, like, best case, he's what? Caleb Williams 2.0?
So Carson Beck, the Georgia quarterback, second
Man,
overall.
He does absolutely nothing for me as a player. Nothing.
Because he's a piece of white toast, Malzi. He's just a blasé.
Jim Nance carries around a picture of him in his pocket, very burnt, and
Ewers
says, this is how I would like it prepared.
To the Steelers is the second QB off the board. And then Sanders to the Jets, 22, is the third quarterback in the first round. He does not have Aller. He does not have Aller as a first-round quarterback.
So. Carson Beck, dude?
Carson Beck.
Again, does he... You guys watched him. I thought the kid whose name I already forgot. Stetson Bennett was like more dynamic for them than Carson Beck.
I'd rather have Glenn Beck at quarterback.
What, is he still alive?
I think, you know what? Mason Rudolph... That's the Titans with the second pick. He might prefer Glenn Beck in that quarterback room to...
There you go. What is that noise you are making?
I'm just making myself laugh.
Glenn Beck is still alive.
Yeah,
I hadn't thought about Glenn Beck in...
He's only 60.
He's still out there doing his thing.
The right guy?
Man, speaking of which, we were looking at one hockey insider today who is younger than me by almost 5 years.
Oh, I guarantee you, I wasn't back there when you were doing it. I can
you know
predict
who it
was.
Yeah.
Frank Saravalli.
And it's not, like, yes, and Frank has a couple pictures where, okay, he looks more like his age. He's got silver hair. He went gray early, I guess.
He's dead to me, that guy.
Saravalli?
He could have the biggest breaking Penguins news story of all time, and I still wouldn't put him on the air. The snarkiness of what he said about Crosby at the All-Star game still just irks me.
Who's deader to who? Schrager to me or Saravalli to you?
Well, I don't block guys on Twitter.
Wait a minute. I didn't block Schrager.
Oh.
No, I just said.
I thought
Dale
you automatically
Lally
blocked
me.
People like that.
Oh, no. The blue check thing, if I already followed them, it didn't block them. Because it figured I followed them for a reason.